Today's daf is Chulin Samach Bet. We're going to start at the bottom, Amar Rav Nachman. Before we start, I want to just summarize a little. We have the Nesher. Right? So the way the daf was set up yesterday, we have the Nesher. It has none of the four, right? We have the next, we have the Peres and the Ozniah that have one of the four. Then we have, right, this is the four simanim of kashrut, right? Then we're going to have the orev, which has two of the four. And then we're going to have the rest, the other 20, or possibly 19, because the zarzir, we're going to talk about in the beginning of today's stuff, is it like the orev, and maybe there's a debate about whether it's actually 19 or 20, and the orev is actually two. Okay, because we're going to say the Orevu Mino, it was one of the psukim that had a Mino corresponding to it. So either there's two here, right? Nesher is one, Peres and Ozniah is two, Orev is either one or two, and then we're left with either 19 or 20. And those are going to have three of the four Simanei Tahara. Okay? So that's what we've understood about the Sugya so far. Okay? That's what the basic understanding. That's Rashi's interpretation. There's another interpretation that actually it's the reverse, okay? That it goes, Nesher has none of the four, that everyone agrees with, but the Peres and the Ozniah have three of the four. Okay, the Orev is obviously going to be the same because two of the four can go either way, and that the 19 or 20 of them only have one Simanei Tahara. So there's two totally different ways of understanding the Sugya. You have to have the... This is, it's Rabbeinu Moshe be Rabbi Yosef, who's quoted in the Sefer HaMa'or, like I saw. And he has to have a different girsa in a bunch of the sections, because what we read yesterday wouldn't make sense. Like, the way we read it, it was set up as Nesher, Peres, Ozniah, Orev, and the rest of them. But it would have to be, right, you'd have to switch the Peres and the Ozniah with the last section to make it make sense. So, first of all, I'm bringing this up because I didn't talk about this yesterday and I wanted to raise it. And the second reason is because depending on how you interpret that is going to very much affect the next. And as often, when you're reading a sugya and you say, okay, well, what motivated him to say that? Sometimes it's the next, you know, it's a different sugya that motivates the interpretation. And here, the interpretation, the simple reading of our Gemara went very much more so like Rashi, that the order is... You know, the Nesha, the Peres, Ozniah, the Orev, and the rest of them. But this next section, the Pshat reading, actually sounds a lot better according to Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Yosef. Okay? So, Amar Rav Nachman, Haya Baki Bahen, Ubishmotehen. If you were Baki in the birds and their names and you knew each of the types, Of Habab Siman Echad, if you had an Of with only one Siman Tahara, it would be Tahor. Okay? Now, if you're Rashi, which one has only one siman? The Peres and the Ozniah. So then you would have to say, Haya Baki Bahen is the Peres and the Ozniah. Only those. Because, and that's, right, the idea being, as long as you know what the Peres and the Ozniah look like, and you end up with a bird with only one siman, right? Remember, this is under the assumption that we said yesterday, which is as long as it has one siman tara, it's going to be okay, unless it's any of these categories, right? Or if it has two. As long as it has lefachot one siman tahara, remember that was where we ended, with the nesher. Only if it's got nothing is it a problem. But if it's got any of these, one, two, or three, and it's not in the list of birds, then it's going to be okay. So according to this, if you find an oaf with one siman, it's going to be tahor, as long as you're baki with the birds and their names. Now the pshat seems to be many birds and their names, which fits a little better with Rabbeinu Moshe, who says that all of the 19 or 20 have only one out of three simanei tahara, right? Because then you would say you have to know baki bahen ubishmotehen. You got to know all the birds and all their types in order to know if that's the case. According to Rashi, Rashi's going to have to say bahen is referring to the Peres and the Ozniah, which you would think that if that's what they meant, they would have spelled it out. So that's a weakness in Rashi's Shita. Okay? Because again, we're talking here about an Of HaBab Siman Echad. So if there's an Of that has only one Siman Tara, You have to compare it. You have to know, what do you have to be baki in? Whatever other categories of birds have only one siman. And there's a debate. Is it the parasinosia or is it the 19 or 20? Lo haya baki bahen ubishmotehen. If you weren't baki and you didn't know all the types of birds, or according to Rashi, you didn't know the paras and the osnia, b'siman echad tameh. If it's got one siman, we're going to say it's tameh. Okay, because we're going to assume that it must be one of the forbidden ones. B'shnei simanim, if it's two simanim, it's tahor. V'hu sheyakir orev. Okay, now, right. Obviously, you're going to have to know. Now, this is a little easier because you just have to know what an orev is. As long as you know what an orev is, then you're okay. So now they say, orev v'tulo. What do you mean? An orev, remember I told you, maybe there's two things like that. So what, and not any other ones? V'hatanya orev, ze orev lemino. Remember the pasuk says, v'orev lemino. So, since it says lemino, what do we say? That if it says lemino, it means something else like it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lehaviyat hazarzir. Rabbi Eliezer says, this includes the zarzir. Amrulo the Rabbi Eliezer, v'halo anshei kfar timrata shebiyuda, hayu achlinotam mipnei sheyesh lehem zefek. So the response to Rabbi Eliezer, right now we're just bringing Rabbi Eliezer to say that there's something in addition to the orev. He claims it's the zarzir. Chachamim disagree with him about the identification of this extra. In any case, there is an extra, okay, which questions, how can you say as long as you know the orev, it should be as long as you know the orev and its counterpart or whatever similar to it. So they said to Rabbi Eliezer, but wait, we've seen people eating this. Why? Because it has a zefek. So since it has a zefek, they're going to say it's not the same two simanim that an orev has, because an orev doesn't have a zefek, and therefore it can't be like a zefek. Okay? What their Rashi explains... What?
Like an
I'm sorry, it can't be like an orev. Right, it has a crop. So Rashi says, what did Rabbi Eliezer think then? Right? So Rashi quotes the Gemara further on, which says that because he's ragil lishkon im ha'orvim, machziko mimenu. In other words, they say, machziko mimino. Sorry, it should be mimino. Because they generally dwell together, in other words, the question is, what does something have to do to be kimino? This is what you were saying just before Shior, Naomi, about that amin doesn't mean the same species. It means that it could mean some sort of similarity. So Rabbi Eliezer defines it a little more loosely as saying, since it dwells with it, therefore it's considered the same. There's another interpretation I saw, which was... Right. Rashi says further on that it looks like, you know, they look similar. Okay, even if maybe their details are different, but they look similar. So now we're just in the middle of this braita about the machlok at Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. So basically Rabbi Eliezer says the Zerzir is like the Orev, forbidden. Chachamim say, what do you mean? In Kfar Timrata and Yehuda, in the Judean area, they were eating them. Amar lahem, so he says to Chachamim, Aken atidin liten atadin, right? Well, they're wrong. Okay, very simply. Okay, davar acher, there's another version of this whole thing. Liminehu, lahavis nunit levana. The liminehu includes, and I think it probably, yeah, it should say limino, because that's what the, remember, some of them say liminehu, some of them say limino, with the orev, it's limino, so it's probably a typo. Limino, lahavis nunit levana. Which they say is a barn swallow. He says not that it includes the zarzir, but that what's similar to the orev is the snunit levana. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's what Rabbi Eliezer thinks. Amrulo, v'halo anshei galil ha'elyon. You see, they have all different versions, right? There's maybe this is also where these birds were common. The people in the galil, ochlin oto mipnei shekor kavno niklaf, because the gizzard can be peeled away. Amar lahen, af hein atidin liten atadin. Right? So again, he says the same thing. So now, what are we left with? We started with our question, as long as you know what an orev is, and you see a bird that has two simanei tara, and you know it's not an orev, then you can assume it's kosher. So, what do they say? Ela orev, v'chol min orev. What they meant is an orev and anything that's like an orev. So as long as you know it's not in the family or in the similar type of bird as an orev, again, what makes it similar type is questionable, so that already makes it a little bit more difficult to know what to do actually practically. Amar Amemar. Okay, so we started off, I just want to review, we started off with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, as long as you're baki, if you find a bird that has one of the, you know, one siman or two simanim, and obviously he would probably say three simanim, right? As long as you know all the other types, you're okay. It's a good question why he doesn't say the three simanim, okay? If you go according to Rabbeinu Yosef or Rabbi Moshe, then he leaves out the Paris and the Ozniyah, and that's because we're going to see that they weren't very common. So you could kind of just eat them because there was nothing, you didn't have to worry about really finding them because people just generally, they weren't really found. Okay, so now they say, Amar Amemar. Amemar has a different approach. Hilchata of haba b'siman achad tahor. V'hu delo daris. He says, you don't have to say, oh, do I know all the birds? As long as it has one siman, you can assume it's tahor, as long as it's not dores. Okay? Now, Amar le'Rav Ashi la'Memar, had Rav Nachman mai, and says, what do you do with what Rav Nachman said? Says, why don't you think, it seems pretty obvious, you have to check out that it's one of, right? Now remember, they're talking about the case of siman echad here. So if it has one siman, if you go with Rashi, we're only, and this is going to be the difficult part of the sugya according to Rabbeinu Moshe, he's going to have a different nusach here. One, if you only have one siman, you're only worried about the Paris and the Ozniyah. So comes a Meimar and he says, oh, I'm obviously not worried about that, right? So anyway, they say, why aren't you worried about Rav Nachman? You have to say, you have to be baki, let's say, with the Paris and the Ozniyah. Amar le, lo shmiali, kolomar, lo sfirali. In other words, first he says, I never heard of Rav Nachman, which really means I don't hold like Rav Nachman. I'm not worried about what he says. My ika, why? What's his concern? Mishum peres v'ozniyah? Litnuhu b'yishuv. If you're worried, if you see a bird with one siman of tara, and you're worried maybe it's a peres and ozniyah, they're just not in existence where we live. You know, there's no concern about it, and therefore you don't have to worry. You don't even have to be baki with what a peres and ozniyah looks like. You can just, you know, assume that it's not that. Amar of Yehuda, of hamisaret. Okay, this is a bird that a scratching bird. It's called. You know, that's the literal translation. Some people say this is also a barn swallow, which we said the snuni levana was. It's kasher. We're going to see that inside that it's a snuni levana. Kasher letaharat mitzora. If you remember in the mitzora process, you take these two birds, and one you sheft and you put the blood of that bird into the mix it with the water and you mix it with, you know, the hyssop and some other things, and then you dip the other bird into it, and then you set that bird free. You don't kill the second bird. So, in order to use a bird for this procedure, obviously you need a kosher bird. So, the ofa misaret is kasher l'tarat mitzora. V'zohi snunit levana shenichleku barei Elazar v'chachamim. And that's dafka, the bird, right? This ofa misaret is the snunit levana. A lot of what we're going to have in today's daf is sort of identifying birds, you know, which makes a lot of sense because the whole thing was trying to figure out who these birds are and are they kosher or not. This is the snunit levana where Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim have a machloket about. Amar Amemar. So remember, Chachamim said it was fine. So we go by Chachamim, who say it's fine. Remember, they said we saw the people eating it, right? Which means you can then use it for the process of the mitzvah. Amar Amemar. Now there's going to be a debate about which type of bird was Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim debating. Okay, what was their debate about? Amar Amemar. Bechivara kresa. Okay, there's ones, we're going to see, there's ones with white bellies, and there's ones with green bellies, which probably means yellow. As I saw, at least in the Koran translation, calls them yellow-bellied. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, right? The yellow-bellied birds. Right, the reference to the Sneetches or something, star-bellied. Amar Amemar. Bichivara kresa, with a white stomachs, kule ama lo plige desharia. They both agree if it has a white stomach, that's a kosher type. Ki plige bidiyaroka kresa. They have a machloket about the yellow bellies. Rabbi Lezer asar, Rabbanan sharu, right? So their machloket is the yellow belly ones, is it asar or is it mutar? Bihilchata to Rabbi Lezer. And the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer, who says it's forbidden. Which then, how do we have this nunit levana then that was okay? Because this nunit levana is the one that they all agree about. And that's when we say this nunit levana is tahor for the purposes of the mitzorah, that must be the snunit levana with a white belly, and not a snunit levana with a yellow belly. Okay? keep okay. Okay, Behilchat HaKarav Elezer. So Marzutra Matnehachi. Marzutra has a different version. He says B'diyiroka Kresa Kuleyam Alo Pligi De'aser. Everybody agrees that the yellow bellies are forbidden. Ki Pligi B'dechivara Kresa. Rabbi Lezer Asar, Rabbanan Sharu. Their machloket is about the white belly ones. Rabbi Lezer forbids, Rabbanan Matirs, and therefore you're going to have to say the halacha here is like Bilchatak Ki Rabbanan. Because remember, we have to matir something. According to this version, everything's asr, except for Chachamim, who think that the white belly ones are mutar. So if you say they're tahor for the process of the mitzora, you'd have to be following Chachamim, Disharu, who permitted this. So now they say like this. Bishlama lamanda amar b'chiyura kresa pligi. The one who says that their machloket is about the white belly ones is the machloket. That makes sense because hainu dekatani zoi snunit levana. Right, we're assuming right now that snunit levana must be the ones with the white bellies because it's called the snunit levana. It sounds white. So in earlier, what did we see? The machloket is about a snunit levana. So that makes sense according to the second version, Marzutra, who says that their machloket was about the white belly ones. Ela lamanda amar b'yiroka pligi my zohi snunit levana. When you say that they were talking about the yellow-bellied ones, why did the machloket above say that they were arguing about a snunit levana? Snunit levana would sound like the white-bellied ones, and there we said everybody agrees with the white-bellied ones. So what do we answer? La fuke debate de uchmete. When we say yellow-bellied, we mean. And when we say snunit levana, we could still mean the yellow-bellied ones. It's just that they're light compared to, right, chivara even means, right, if you turn chiver, it means pale. So it means pale, now generally it does mean white in Aramaic, but it means pale compared to the dark ones, which are the ones that live in the houses, okay? And there's darker ones, and those ones, it's coming to exclude those. It just means white, it means it relatively speaking. Okay, it also could be that this snunit levana was a type of bird, and within that bird there were yellow bellies and white bellies that are, in fact, I noticed that in the Koran, in their translation, they call it the white, here, let me just see, I'll tell you, it was called the, I think they called it the white snunit with the yellow belly. It was just like, right? I think I saw it there. Now I don't see it. But anyway, okay.
This says that it was actually black, which is why you might have confused it with an array that's just the color.
No, the house bird. One was black.
The snunit was...
No, but not the one that they're saying is pale in comparison to is black. There's actually a picture in the Koran. You can open it. That has a picture of the black one. It's not actually fully black, according to their picture. It's interesting, right? Okay, again, there's a debate about, is it totally black? Is it partially black?
If it completely black, you could understand more of a confusion with the orev, whereas if it's got some color...
No, they're not confusing it with an orev. The whole question is, how do we treat the snunit levana, right? No, this is just, is it kosher or is it not? Is it a kosher bird? It's not necessarily comparing it to an orev. They're saying, is this in the context of a kosher bird? Not sure that's specifically compared to an orev. It's just a machloket about, is this a kosher bird or is it not a kosher bird? Okay. Amar Rechava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Tasil pasul mishum torim, v'kasher mishum b'nei yona. Okay, a tasil is a type of bird. And it's a kosher bird, okay? It's a type of dove. The question is, there's torim and b'nei yonah. Remember, a tor is a turtle dove, and a b'nei yonah is a, I don't remember what the exact definition of the, there are two different types of doves. What's the relevance, the halacha? If you remember, b'nei yonah and the torim, remember we had that? The age is the difference. The b'nei yonah, for korbanot purposes, can only be young. And the torim can only be older, right? If they're young, they're pasul. Just like the b'nei yonah, if they're old, they're going to be pasul. So if you have a tasil, and you have it of the age, right? It's going to be pasul mishum torim. Okay, so if it's a mature one, it's going to be pasul. And kasher mishum b'nei yonah. Basically, we're saying the tasil is in the category of the b'nei yonah in terms of its age. Datzifi, which is a different type of dove, Vitorin shal Rechava, okay, that's a different type of, it's interesting, this was, Rechava said this in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Sometimes people had names that were associated with statements they made. It could be, that's why he was called Rechava, because he talked about these Torim of Rechava, are ksherim mishum Torim, upsulim mishum b'nei Yonah. These are in the other category. They're more similar to Torim, and therefore, whether or not you can bring them as a sacrifice depends, right? Their age has to be a mature age and not a young age. Matir Rav Daniel Barav Katina. But now he brings a contradiction. Kol ha'ofot psulin, poslin mechatat, chutz min hayona mipnei shemotzetzet. Okay, all birds when they drink, okay, here again, the notes and the Steinsaltz and the Koran are very helpful. They claim that when birds drink, they, let me just read it exactly, when they drink, they, one second. Okay, most birds drink by filling their beaks with water and then raising them up, which causes some of the water to spill out from the sides. And therefore, what's going to happen if you have mechatat and the bird puts its mouth in the mechatat, right? This is classic why you don't want to share bottles with people, right? It's not just the sides and the saliva, but stuff from their mouth gets back into, right? Some of the water spills back into it. So therefore, when they do that, right, some water from the bird is going to get in, and that basically disqualifies the water because you need to have pure water. It can't have water that was in a bird's mouth. But pigeons dip their beaks into water up to their nostrils, then sip the amount of water in such a way that nothing drips back in. Okay? So, right.
I don't know how they figured this out.
Right, exactly. So then they say that there's another type of pigeon that doesn't drink this way, and this might be the tassil which they're specifically talking about. Okay? So now they say, I already kind of gave away the end, but right now what they're going to say is like this. So basically all birds are going to be posel mechata because of the way they drink. Chutzmin hayona, except for, right, the yona is translated as pigeons, obviously. So except for the yona, except for the pigeons, mipnei shemotzetzet, because they slurp it up, so to speak, without anything dripping out. Vim itan, if we want to say, like we said a minute ago, that who's like a yonah, the tasil is in the category of yonah. So why don't we say, litni chutz mi yonah v'tasil? Therefore, right, again, this is a way of saying, if we're going to compare the two and say they're the same, well, we must say they're the same across the board, which is, of course, not necessarily the most accurate type of way of looking at it, right? Just because it might be the same in terms of korbanot, like the age, and kashrut, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same in terms of how they actually drink. So Amar Rabbi Seira, zeh motzei tzumeki, v'zeh motzei tzveino meki, right? What the difference is that even though they are similar for the cases of kashrut, they are similar for the cases of korbanot, but they're not similar in the way they actually drink, and therefore, right, one, the tassil slurps but also spits out, and the yonah, the pigeon, only slurps it up and doesn't spit it out. Amar Rav Yehuda, hane kufshine tzutzayine. Okay, these are types of pigeons called the tzutzayini pigeons. Ksherim legabe, they're not pigeons, they're doves. Okay, kufshine is doves. From Tzutzayine, okay, the assumption is that this is a name of a place. That's what Rashi says. Their ksherim legabe mizbeach, okay, you can bring them on the mizbeach. Vehein hein torim shel rechava. And these are the torim that they called before, previously, torim of rechava. So now they say, meitive, we're going to bring a contradiction from another source, which again, we're comparing a little bit apples and oranges, but we're now going to say that when you need to use a zov, okay, there's a bunch of procedures like the Metzora and the Mechatat for the Paraduma and some other things that need Ezov, right? They also use it in the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, right? They dip the blood in the Ezov. Ezov velo Ezov Yavan, velo Ezov Kuchli, velo Ezov Romi, velo Midbari, velo Kol Ezov Sheyesh Loshem Levai. When it comes to using Ezov, the Torah says you have to bring Ezov. When the Torah says you have to bring Ezov, that means Ezov that's called Ezov, and not Ezov that has a descriptor to it. Okay, so not the Greek Ezov,
It also means Ezov from Eretz Yisrael.
That's what you're saying, you think it means?
I would assume if they're saying, well, not Greek, not Roman, then they're going to...
Well, they say specific, well, okay, Kuchli, so Kuchli, there's a bit of a debate. Kuchla, generally, we've talked about is blue eyeshadow they would use. It probably means blue, But some people actually claim that all the rest are names of places, locations, and that maybe it's some location also. Again, always a problem with interpreting things when we're not aware of the whole reality of where they lived. So it could be just location, or it could be, it really sounds like any descriptor, and it's not particularly dependent on location. Here, just with Ezov, mostly they described Ezov by location, but it could be that one of them is actually color. Below Ezov Romi, not from Romi, lo midbari, not desert Ezov, below kol Ezov sheyesh l'shem Levi. The assumption here is that the Torah meant Ezov, and not some Ezov that has some other description to it, because that's not real Ezov, or that's not what the Torah meant. If that's the case, then Torin should be the same. When it says you have to bring Shnei Torim, it should be Torim proper, and not Torim Tzutzaini, okay, or Torim Shel Rechava. Okay, so what does Abaye say? Gives an interesting answer. Amar Abaye, Kol Shenishtana Shmo Kodem Matan Torah, V'ikpida Torah Alav, Yesh Lo Shem Levi Pasul. What does he say? It's only the ones that are excluded, or only the ones that had a Shem Levi in the time of the Torah. But these got their name, Torin Shavachava, or Kuf Shenei Tzutzaini, much later on, after Matan Torah. And therefore, at Matan Torah, these were still called Torin. They weren't called, you know, this is the name we gave it later. That's not going to exclude you from a Torah obligation. You know, that's not going to be an issue. That's one answer. Rava Amar, Haine Kufshine Tzutzaini, Ba'atrayu Stama Karalehu. We call them Kufshine Tzutzaini because we don't live in Tzutzaini. But in Tzutzaini, they just call them Torim. So therefore, since they're known by the locals as regular Torim, and they really are regular Torim, it's actually a little similar. It's a different type of answer, but it's saying that the fact that it has a Shem Levi isn't inherent to it in its own, it's just the way we call it to distinguish it from our own. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hainu Karze Debe Chilfi. Okay, a whole bunch of things that we don't understand what they mean yet. So, Karze, so Rashi says Karze are Chagavim. Okay, they're types of grasshoppers. Tosfo jumps on Rashi and says, look at the top Tosfo, Karze Debe Chilfi, perish from country, so Ayre B'Chagavim. You're bringing in grasshoppers when we're dealing with birds, which often does happen, so it's not so crazy, but it really doesn't make so much sense to start talking about grasshoppers here. And he says, okay, so now you have to read the rest then to see Tosfot's second question. So either we're talking about chagavim, or we're talking about what Tosfot says is, they must be, if you skip to the end of Tosfot, he says, the third line, at the end of the third line in Tosfot, Ela ba'ofot ktanim me'od ayre. We're talking about very, very small birds. Vishortzim ala aretz. The whole issue is going to be, we're going to say that this comes under the category of sheretz and not of. So if we're talking about chagavim, it makes sense why it would be sheretz and not of, although you wouldn't need any, and what Tosfot says, you wouldn't need any special halacha to tell you that, because obviously chagavim are shortzim category. In other words, if they're non-kosher chagavim, they're going to be aser mishum sheretz. But, because remember, sheretz is creepy crawler on the ground. So Tosfot says we must be talking about little birds here that hover around the ground. They don't fly up high. They hover around the ground, and that's why they're going to end up being usser. The whole question is, how do we treat this in-between category? Do we view them as shratzim, or do we view them as ofot? Okay, and I'll get back to this in a few minutes. When we finish this, I want to point out something interesting about this, about shratzim versus birds in general. So, hani karze tebe chilfi. Okay, bechilfi, again, debate, does it mean like shrubs or reeds, or Meiri says thorns. The Aruch says it's reeds. The Aruch is one of the earliest dictionaries of Aramaic dictionaries. He says it's reeds. And Rashi uses some word, which or taush, which seems to mean shrubs. If they hang out in the shrubs, sharu, they're mutar. Okay, so either we're saying grasshoppers that hang out in the shrubs are mutar, or these little birds that fly around in these areas are mutar. Udebe karve asire. But if they hang out in the karve, again, debate what this means. Rashi says cabbages, okay, if they hang out with cabbage. Rashi and Samach Gimel seems to say plowed soil, that he gives another option. He says another possibility of what karve is, on this daf he refers to later, is plowed soil. Also, the Sefer Itur says that. The Aruch says it means in mounds of dirt, okay, which makes sense if you're going to view them as shvatzim. They kind of hang out more in, you know, dirt, like that kind of area. Those are going to be asirei. Those are forbidden. Amaravina umalkina nalayu mishum sheret ha'of. Okay, he says these are what we call sheret ha'of, which even though it says the word of in there, it really just means creepy crawlers, right? It's out of the category of birds. It goes into the category of sheret. So now again, I want to just review. We had two approaches here. Either we're talking about chagavim, and the question is, which are chagavim tehorim and which are chagavim tmeim? Tosfot says to say that is just odd because this seems to be saying they're treated as a sheretz. If we already know they're usher and they're a chagav that's usher, it's automatically a sheretz. So Ravina's statement is totally unnecessary, which is why Tosfot disagrees with Rashi. The problem with Tosfot is that there's a whole, and it all depends on how you side on this debate. But there's an interesting debate about whether shretzim can only be four-legged creatures. Is that part of the definition of a sheretz, that it's a four or more legged creature? Whereas if we're talking about small birds, according to Tosfot, it's only a two-legged creature, and then it can't possibly be in the category of shretzim. If you, and what I want to show is interesting, is how you interpret the sugya is all connected with how you view shretzim in general. Can shretzim be two-legged, or do they have to be four-legged or more, obviously, because we know many shretzim are multi-legged creatures. So that's an interesting debate, which connects to our sugya here. The Amar Rav Yehuda. Sarda Shari. Now we're just going to get into a list. We don't even know what all these birds are, but they obviously were important to them, and here they're trying to start not only classifying, okay, this is Mutcher, this is Usher, this is Mutcher, this is Usher, this is Mutcher, this is Usher. They were going to give you a lot of hints as to how to remember that this is the one, right, that we, the simanech we keep having, right? Here's your way of remembering, a mnemonic device. Tsar da share, bar da aser, right? These are obviously, they rhyme, so, right, they put them together. A bird that's called the tsar is okay, a bar da is asur, v'simanech, bar minei. Okay, bar minei, right? Bar minei is always a way of saying, I'm going to stay away from this person. So bar is chutz, right? So bar minei, I'm going to stay away. So that's how you remember the barda is usher because it has bar in it. Marda sveka. But the marda is a safek. Okay, that's a different bird that rhymes with tarda and barda. A marda is a safek. And now we're going to say Amar Rav Asi, shmona svekotain. Okay, there's eight birds that are svekot. Chova, choga, suga, harnuga, tushlame, marda, kuchilna, ubar nafcha. It's funny, right? We always talk about Rabbi Yochanan being the bar nafcha. They clearly had these nicknames for these birds. I hope they weren't naming the bird after Rabbi Yochanan, but clearly you're going to see from some of these names that they're nicknames. Right? Even marda, it sounds like it's a rebellious bird or something like that. My svekayu, why are these svekot? Ofot tahorin korkavnam niklaf. This is a very important line, okay? Because this is going to affect how you understand all the issues about this is going to affect how you understand this whole thing about the paresnosia. Is it one out of three? Is that three out of one? There's a lot of, I'm not going to get into all the details. It's quite complicated. But how you interpret this sort of has effects on how you interpret the whole sugya in general that we've learned. So he says, so the Gemara says, these birds, korkavnam niklaf, ofotorim korkavnam niklaf, right? One of the simanim in of tahor is that the gizzard can be peeled away, the inner layer can be peeled away very easily. Utmein ein korkavam niklaf, right? But if they're tamei, then this isn't true. Vahane korkavnam niklaf besakina, and these can be peeled off, but only with a knife. So is when we say korkavnam niklaf, is it that can be peeled off easily without a knife? Or even if it can be peeled off with a knife, does that make it okay? Now, according to Rashi, okay, the case here is that Rashi says, Vahani korkavnam niklaf besakina, and that Rashi, he says, Ushar shloshet hasimanim mevurarim behen. This is a case where it has all the other three simanei tahara. Okay? Now, if we already concluded that one siman tahara is enough, then why, if this has three simanei tahara, we're only worried, does it have the fourth, should we be worried? So the whole question, according to Rashi, is it possible that this is one of the birds on the list that we're not sure how to identify? Okay? Because it has, and then this fits with Rashi, who says that the 19 or 20 of them have three of the four simanim, and this has three of the four, and therefore, is it okay? Some people think that it has no simanim and that it's an issue. Is one enough, and is this right? Does it actually have one? Because one is enough in general, and it's not an issue. Do we think that this is one of the birds on the list? We don't think it's one of the birds on the list. Why not? Because if it only has one of the four, it's clearly not a parasinosnia, because we already said they're not really around. And therefore, if it has one, right, is it okay? The question is, if one is okay for sure, it's just a question, does this have one or not? So there's big debate about how to view the sugya at all, and there's more ramifications of it, but I'm not going to get into all of them. But this is like a key sugya in understanding some of the disagreements between the Rishonim about this whole sugya. Okay. The ha, so now they ask a question about this. You're worried about is korkam no niklaf b'sakin, is that a siman or not? B'ha yi bar avza, which is a barvaz, okay, barvaza, which is a duck. Dehave be Mar Shmuel, it was in the house of Mar Shmuel. Delo hava kamichlaf kor kavne, it wouldn't peel off. Ve'otve b'shimsha, and he put it in the sun. Ve'kev anterafe iklif, right? And once it softened, it was able to peel. And they matured, right? We all know you can eat duck. So what are the answer? And therefore, if it could peel once you put it in the sun, it should be. If it could peel with a knife, it should be fine. So what are the answer? Hatam ki rafe iklif biyada. Once it softened, it was able to be peeled with your hand. Ha chaf al pi derafe. But here, even once it softens, lo miklaf ela b'sakina, and therefore it's not the same. Amar Abaye, tarnagola da agma chad mishmona sfeikotu. Okay, Abaye says one of the eight is called this tarnagola da agma, like a swamp rooster. V'hainu mardu, and that's okay. Now, how could it be part of the Shmona Sfei code if it's not listed? He says, "Oh, that's what we call the marda bird." Okay, the marda bird is a tarnagola da agma. Amar Papa, tarnagola da agma asira, tarnagolata da agma sharia. Okay, there's a difference. The male version is forbidden, but the female version is permitted. V'simanech, and how do you remember this? Here's your cute one. Amoni v'lo amonit, right? Mi lo yavo b'kal Hashem amoni, right? That's amonit can. That's the whole thing about. Root and right, Moavi, below Moavi, Moavia. What? No, the male is forbidden. Amoni is who can't lavo b'kal Hashem. So the male is forbidden, and that's how you remember this. Darish Memeimar, Tarnagolta da Agma Asira. Okay, he says actually it's forbidden. Chazua de Darsava Achla. Behainu Giruta. He says, we see, in fact, there's a really key line, okay, at least according to Rashi. Because we in fact see that she's doreset ve'ochelet. Now, one of the interpretations is that once it's dores, even if you have only one, it's okay, but it can't be a dores. Okay? So because we see that she can actually, she's doreset ve'ochelet, that's how she eats, and this is called the giruta, and it's forbidden. So Rashi says something really interesting here. So what happened was, in this case, obviously, they didn't think she was an of doreset, and then they found out that she was. So if you look in the middle of the Rashi, Chazua Didar Sava Achla, in the fourth or fifth line, it says, Umitoch she'ein anu b'ki'im bahem, nir eli de'of haba lefaneinu, yesh lomar shema yidros. De'ha hach tarnagota da'agma, hayu machzikim b'tara, ula achar zman ra'ua she'doreset, ve'ein of nechal lanu, ela b'masoret of shemasru lanu ovetenu b'tahor. V'shelom masru lanu, yesh lachush. He says very, right, there's a very key line, halacha lamaase, Rashi says. We talked about it earlier, that Rashi is very often not halacha lamaase, and in this Masechet very much so. Here's a real source where he says, since, right, if we think we see a bird that's not doreset, it doesn't, from this, you see that it could be a doreset, and therefore, dores, and therefore, we have to be machmir across the board, unless we have a masoret about whether the bird's kosher. It's like a very big chumrah in halachot of birds, and here you see how much they side with masoret over the simanim. Okay, we'll stop here. The next thing is going to be basically just listing. This one's kosher, this one's aser, this one's this, and with more simanim. We'll pick up with it tomorrow.